Gospel of Luke. And we'll see how things shake out. The Lord's in charge of it all, regardless, and so we're just thankful for the privilege. And as you're turning there, I would like to thank Pastor Hobbs and the King's Edition Baptist Church for this invitation and the privilege to preach here. It's always a blessing. We love this church and your pastor, and he's been an encouragement and a help to me in many ways and consistently down through the years since the Lord brought us together. And I rejoice in the privilege of counting him and you among my friends and the friends of Grace Baptist Church. We bring you greetings from there, and thank you for hosting this Bible conference. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse number 4. And when much people were come together, and were come to him out of the city, he spake by a parable. A sower went forth to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it were sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." I'm thankful for this subject, and certainly I rejoice in the fact of being assigned the blessing of sowing and being thankful for it. God knows what His preacher's needs, and He can direct one to assign a subject such as this to fit the need of the hour for an individual pastor. And I'll just say that as for me and my house, we certainly needed this subject. And the sad part is that I am convinced that we are not the exception to the rule, and particularly among Baptists of our day, but rather the generality. And I am convinced likewise that it is not really the fact that we are unthankful for the blessing of sowing that's the problem. It is the fact that we just do little sowing at all, period. And instead of being in the vineyard and about the Lord's work, we're so involved and concerned and busy with everything else that we can find to do in this world and spend little time sowing to the glory of God. The parable that we have read is very short and concise, and God, in His Word, instructs us as to the meanings thereof in verses 11 through 15. And you can read that just as well as I can, and I hope that you shall do so. The main gist of it is that there was a sower who went forth to sow. And that's the important part that I would like for us to think of here this morning. What do you think of when someone speaks to you of the matter of sowing? What comes to your mind? I believe that we would all agree that the single greatest failure of true Baptists today is the lack of personal missionary zeal. Not just so much that we are not willing to support someone who will go and do, but our personal doing, personally sowing the Word of God, taking it to our neighbors, taking it to our families, going into the highways and hedges where God has placed us and compelling them to come in. We are happy to hear of God blessing and using someone somewhere else, but we are so, shall I say, lazy? Shall I say self-centered? Shall I say so uncaring and hard-hearted and callous that those round about us are dead in trespasses and sin, and the only thing that can ever in this world provide a remedy for that depravity is the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ when He, the Holy Spirit, shall come in the day of His power and make it effectual in the lives of those who hear. Now, we are missionary Baptists, aren't we? We do indeed believe and know that the Word of God declares that there is an absolute necessity to the hearing or the communication of that good news of Christ Jesus. Now He came into this world to die sinners before a sinner is ever saved. And we rejoice therein.
Amen.
Today, we are involved with much. But our failure in this matter is a great plague of our generation. I believe that the problem exists in the main, likely, in our attitude and the way that we feel about sowing. When you think of sowing, just what do you consider? What do you think about it? Is it a blessing? Reality. Face the facts. Come to where the rubber meets the road this morning and look to our hearts and be honest with ourselves. God Almighty knows already, and you may put on a good face and picture for others, or I might for you, but God knows whether we view sowing a blessing or whether we view it as what? A hardship, a labor, something that we would rather avoid if we can. And I fear the latter is the probable cause in our day today. To the majority of Baptists, sowing is a strict duty. And that's all they see in it. It is the obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ as He commissioned His church in Matthew 28:18-20 to go out into the world to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them the old things. Beloved friends, I recognize the fact that we are not seeing much in our day with regards to reaping. And I won't get there too long, brother. But we're not seeing much of that. But there's a problem that arises in our attitude about the matter. Reaping is not our business. Understand that.
Amen.
Sowing is our business.
Amen.
Jesus Christ never promised us any manifold results of our sowing. He instructed us to sow. And in the parable that I've read to you, the sower went out and sowed. He didn't be concerned with where the seed fell. He wasn't involved with tilling the ground. He wasn't concerned with whether it would spring up or whether it would choke out or whether the fowls would get it or what would happen. He just said, my duty is to go and sow. I'm a sower. And beloved friends, that's what we've got to get at today.
Amen.
And we've got to get past this matter of seeing sowing as a cold, hard command from our Savior unto us, as if some commander-in-chief has given a heartless, cold, uncaring demand upon us. Sowing today is not to be viewed any more than it was in any era as just a mere labor, but as a blessing. That our God, oh friends, how can we ever learn? That our loving, eternal Father, who is infinitely wise, and who knows our frame and all the needs that we have, and how that He, in this wisdom and in this love and in this kindness toward us, has been pleased that through the foolishness of preaching, He would save those that believe.
Amen.
And our God says, you are needing to be in the business. You are, not that He needs us, but that we need it. That's the reality of it. We need it. We need to be involved in it. Dear friends, I feel that we have a problem with it. And the way that many go about sowing, they'll always reap sparingly because they sow sparingly. There's never a bountiful sowing, so we need not anticipate bountiful reaping. We read Psalm 125, verses 5 and 6, and I suppose everyone is well acquainted with that, where the Word of God declares, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, that's a precious promise.
Amen.
There is some weeping in the sowing. There is some hardship in the sowing. But beloved friends, I can see Baptists of the late 20th century. Why? Because I'm one and I'm among some. And I know a little bit about what it is. and the weeping that goes on today in connection with sowing is not what the psalmist had in mind. The psalmist had in mind that when we go forth to sow the precious gospel of Christ, that we weep over the souls that are lost. That we weep and water that as Paul did when he preached the Word of God, as Jesus did. Friends, something is wrong with the heart of Christians today when we can see our land and the inhabitants thereof wrapped up in the sin that Brother Justin has told us about, and we sit dry-eyed, uncaring, and it doesn't matter. Something's wrong when that doesn't bring weeping to the heart of a missionary Baptist. Amen. I see my dear Lord sitting over the city of Jerusalem, and He sat there and He wept. Amen. And said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how oft would I have gathered thee?" But they would not. Friends, we don't care. That's the whole problem. We don't see blessing as a sowing as a blessing from God. But instead it's that hardship from God that He would rather that He had commissioned someone else with, obviously, if not by our doctrine, by our action. And that'll speak a lot harder than whatever our articles of faith say about us. Baptists of today go out weeping because we have to go. Not because I'm telling you the truth. That's the whole problem. Here we are. We start out, well, I'm going out to a witness today. I'm going to go tell some people about Jesus. I know it's not going to do any good, but I know that's what I'm supposed to do, so I'll just go do it anyway and get over with. Now, here's grass growing out there. And so with a face so long that we have to pick our chin up to keep from kicking our teeth out, here we go. And we come up to the door and we begin to knock on the door and someone opens the door. I'd like to tell you about, I know you don't want to hear this, and I know there's so many already been here, and I know that you already heard all about it, so I'll see you later. If we go, and we go out and we're sad and we're long-faced and we're disappointed and we're discouraged and we're downtrodden and say, I'm from King's Addition Baptist Church. We're just such a wonderful church. I just wish you'd come down and be with us. Said, if you folks would come down to us, you'd be as happy as I am. That's about the way we act because we're at go out and sow. Now, if someone come to you that looked like they had used green persimmon mouthwash in the morning and they'd never got over it and had a worse day from their poor, and said, "I tell you, friends, why don't you come down here and go with us? We'll do you good. You can be as happy as I am if you'll just join us." You'll just jump carts to get over there, wouldn't you? Now face it, folks. We go forth, if we go forth, most of the time in the energies of our flesh.
That's right.
And without preparation of prayer. And without any concern about what the people's condition are, where we go. Because the only reason we're going is because we feel obligated to God to do it. And it's not His blessing on us. So we're not thankful for sowing. Folks, we hate sowing. It seems that way anyway. I know this is somewhat of an exaggeration probably, but it's too close to the truth not to strike home in the reality of it. I am a sower and it's my duty to sow. What shall I do? May our God be pleased. You know, David in the 51st Psalm said something that we need desperately. When he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I think we've lost it. I think it's missing. Something is certainly missing. And David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." My dear friends, we need to be involved in this matter. But if we don't discover as Baptists in our day that there's a blessing in sowing the Word of God, we're going to self-destruct. Now that's the fact. I'm a believer as strong as anyone in Baptist Church perpetuity, but the way things are going, I'm going to be out of here for long. So we're going to just stop and dry up and die and be gone, and the only thing that's going to happen is the Lord's got to come and get us, keep the promise. Because we won't go so. Because it's a labor instead of a blessing. What is the blessing of sowing? I ask this to a lot of people after I received this subject, Christian people of all shades and scriptures. I really have. And you know what it is? The number one answer that comes almost immediately from everyone, our brother's message, reaping. That's the only good they see out of it. I'm serious. People say, well, I've just asked the Lord to use me personally before I die to see the results of my soul. Why? If our sowing is contingent upon our reaping, we might as well quit. The devil's notion is success is measured in results, not God. I suppose one of the greatest failures that ever lived upon this earth, by that estimate, now hear that, by that estimate, would be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, He spent most all of His life with 12, and one of them was a devil. Noah preached for 120 years righteousness and had nothing but his family to show for it. That's the truth. And yet he kept preaching. And Jesus Christ kept going forth and sowing because it was a blessing to do it. I'll let our brother preach about reaping, but let me say this. If you got it, go ahead and with it anyway. It won't hurt to hear it twice, I'll guarantee you. Don't be so involved and concerned about the reaping part. Oh, it's important and it's a blessing that we can hardly contain.
Amen.
But we've got all eternity to rejoice in reaping.
Amen.
And just a few days to sow.
Amen.
Now you better think about that.
Right.
Because that's how it stands. The peace and joy of pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ is a blessing from sowing. Now it really is. We can go forth and serve our God and have days that are filled with joy unspeakable, full of glory. What are the happiest days of our life? Think about it. When are you the happiest at the setting of the sun? Have you had a day or two that you spent in service to God? Doesn't that make a good night's rest?
Amen.
Doesn't that make your bed easy and long enough and the covers wide enough to just cause you to sleep and rest or a wearied body in service to God? My dear friends, we'd be far ahead in this life if we spend our days serving our God and instead of being involved in everything else. There is a great reward in heaven that is a blessing of sowing. And hear me, the consequences will not affect it at all. No determination in the end result. That's God's business, and ours is to sow. The Word of God declares in 1 Corinthians 4:2 that, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And that's the necessity in it. Faithfulness in what our God has given us to do. That is where it stands. We see the Apostle Paul as he speaks to the saints of God in the city of Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And as he speaks to them there, he speaks words of rebuke, if you will, to them for their division, partly because of their looking back to an individual as the one whom God used in their salvation, and he says, that's nothing. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3 and beginning with verse 5. Who is Paul? Let me get verse 4. How about verse 3? I'll about as well start 1 Corinthians 1 shortly, hadn't I? 1 Corinthians 3:3. For ye are carnal. Is that a strong rebuke to a Baptist church from the mouth of the Apostle Paul? Why? Because there was divisions over them and among them because of their following a man. That's exactly what it was all about. And he said, that's carnal stuff. Get rid of it. You're yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, and that's what happens if you start following a man. Are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. There was the secret to it. Forget who Paul was, or Apollos was. It was the Lord that gave you that faith and granted you repentance and born you again. That's the one, and remember Him. The Apostle Paul said in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered. That didn't mean anything because God gave the increase. That's where it stood. Oh, if we never get any idea that our business is to be seed sowers and water boys. That's what it's all about. And let God give the increase. Because that's what preachers are. Seed sowers and water boys. Going out into the Lord's vineyard. Watering with tears. Preaching the Word of God. And soaking it in prayer. My dear friends, that has consequences to the glory of Jesus Christ and to our reward in heaven. Paul had this reality in mind as he received them. But this is the microwave generation. That's the truth of it. We want it fast. We want it all. We want it now. That's it. But sowing's not like that. Is it? The sower goes forth to sow. And the husband must have patience and wait till God sends the rain, till God brings the sunshine, till God adds the increase. And when that happens, our brother preaches. That's what happens. But our duty is sowing, sowing, sowing everywhere we go in everything that we do. And sowing the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up is a consequence of our faithful sowing in this life. The Apostle Paul knew that that was the results and the blessings that would come as a result of him being faithful and diligent in the matter of sowing. In the book of Philippians, and I don't have a lot of time to read this, so let me just kind of paraphrase some of it. The Apostle Paul was in bonds. He writes this letter. And in a few verses, the first of Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 13, we'll say, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord wax confident by my bonds and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now listen. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even of strife, envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. The other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Now understand, the Apostle Paul was not rejoicing in a false gospel, nor a misrepresentation of Christ. Heresy he hated. Amen. In every era and in any place that he came in contact with it. The Apostle Paul is simply saying here, there's sowing going on. I'm in bonds, and there are those who oppose me, And they are more desirous to preach the glorious true gospel of Jesus Christ. They suppose that by doing so, they add to my bonds and make it harder for me. And that's just a pretense, because they're not doing it for the glory of God. They're doing it to hurt me, Paul said. They say whether they're doing it in truth, sincerity, or whatever, Christ is preached. The sowing is being done. And I'll rejoice in that and do rejoice. Well, another blessing from sowing is to be had when we are a sweet savor of Christ unto God. And beloved friends, that ought to be enough to make a Presbyterian nod his head in reality. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, every time that we sow, verse 14 through 17, the Apostle Paul, writing to the saints in Corinth, encourages them with something. And I want to encourage you, because I've seen good stuff. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Listen to it. In them that are saved, and in them that perish. Do you understand that when we sow, whether they hear or whether they forbear, whatever the results are, does not change this fact that we are, by sowing, a sweet savor of Christ unto God. And that ought to be enough to make us sow. Regardless of the outcome, a blessing is to be had from knowing that just as surely as the altar of incense set up a savor that was a picture of Jesus Christ, so are we when we're out presenting the good news that a Savior of sinners has come into this world. I'm going to have to sow a minute or two, and then I got quick. And He has come into this world. To this world, to give His life a ransom for many.
Amen.
To call the sinner to repentance. To open a new and living way, whereby those who are called may come and rejoice in Him. Oh, beloved friends, God help us to see in this day and age in which we live, sowing. One of these days we're going to see Him as He is. And it'll be a blessing to the sowers to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant."
Amen.
That'll be better than carrying all your seed with you, so to speak, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be a lot easier to have an empty bag of seed all sown in the harvest of our God? And I don't have time to deal with it, but listen, they've got to sow good seed.
Amen.
You understand that? God's not pleased with corrupt seed.
Right.
He doesn't want corrupt trees. There's enough of that out there. We've got to sow good seed.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.